I thought it did, but I wasn't 100% sure.
Yeah. All right. I finished my apple. So,
Tim Apple?
Yes, yeah, so I named my apple Tim and then ate it.
Mac OS Ken Apple? That was quite a great picture.
Yeah, that was a great picture.
Mm-hmm. I like how he said, do we want to come on the show? Oh, no, I'm sorry. I'm busy.
Hey, go for the no.
Might well. Sure. Might as well. It doesn't hurt to ask.
Yeah, I mean,
that's right.
You never know. You might have said, yeah, why not?
Go for the no, the story of my love life. Yes.
Hasn't he been on a podcast, or was that only Hair Force One?
Hair Force One. I don't
remember. Yeah. Tim has definitely done some TV shows. Like TV.
Yeah, he's done media. I haven't seen him. He might have done a podcast.
All right. Well, are we ready to do a show?
No. Sorry, I'm readjusting here real quick. So happens you have crap on your feet behind your feet here.
Yeah. David, forgive me. Are you on your mic?
Probably not. I hadn't checked it. Hold on.
It seemed like we were getting an awful lot of room noise.
Okay. As I was moving around.
I
was moving my chair because I had stuff in my feet that were driving me crazy. Okay. I'll be quiet now.
So you were just loud, that's all.
I was moving around, moving stuff. Now I'm quiet.
Dave says stuff around his feet. What he really means, all the little people that he climbed up to reach the pinnacle.
Yes.
Yes. Hey, I'm just, before we start, I'm just reading the Slack channel, and I love this. Ewan is getting paid to run a Teams meeting for a company. Teams meeting. Mm-hmm. Sign me up. I mean, talk about easy money.
Yeah.
Wow.
I could do that at like 5 a.m. in the morning while I'm still asleep. I've probably done that at 5 a.m. in the morning.
Yeah.
Yeah, that sounds like the sort of thing you do while you're asleep. Mm-hmm. Then you get up later in the day. And someone says, wow, you did a great job running that Teams meeting. And you're like, I ran a Teams meeting?
I did what?
I have a Teams meeting today at 1 o'clock, so I'll be part of a Teams meeting. Demoing one drive for iOS.
Good luck. We're all counting on you.
You really know how to live, David.
I do. Yeah,
you do. But
they gotta know how to use it.
I guess we should start the show.
Yeah. Oh.
All right, here we go. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Mac Show. I am Jeff Gamet, and I am actually helping perpetuate the theory that Ewan Rankin and I are the same person, because we are not appearing on the same shows at the same time. Therefore, I will neither confirm nor deny this theory. You can sort it out for yourselves. And that's this week's show. We'll see you again next week. Okay. Which kind of accounts for all the Apple news from this week? We have an awesome panel here today to make me look good. And that's really what it's all about. Patrice, how are you today?
I'm doing really well. I'm very happy it's Friday. I've had a great week, but also a stressful week, and I'm just ready for the show. Friday at the show is always the highlight of the week.
Yeah, I'm with you. I have been so ready for this show all week long, especially since I missed last week, Big Show and Mac Show. I took a mini vacation, go me. And yesterday I had a scheduling conflict and just didn't work. So it feels like I've gone way too long without hanging out with all of you. So
you have. So
well, there you go. So I've been really, really excited about today. Yeah, Dave, how are you doing?
Doing good. It's Friday. Yes, I'm looking forward to the weekend, and always look forward to being here with you guys and talking all this tech stuff.
Yep. it's truly a high point of the week. Chuck, how are you?
It's Friday, Jeff. I can't believe it. It seemed like we were just here. What happened to my Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday? Yeah. I don't quite understand how and why life is getting so busy or has been so busy, but yeah, right there with you. But other than that, I'm good. And this is indeed a high point of the week.
Yeah. And I just realized, I feel like this week has been so long that I can't remember. Was it just this Monday where we did the user group meeting?
Yes.
Or was that last
it was.
Week? That was this week, not last week.
That was just this past week. Yep.
Holy crap. And now that I'm looking at everyone, I realize that I did not get the wardrobe memo for today. I am not wearing a polo shirt or a really nice blouse.
It's all right.
I apologize for that. Well, we'll fix that in post. Ewan, you'll have to go ahead and do some Photoshop work.
Yep.
Yeah. Make me look better. I know that's a tall order.
Jeff is the leader of a Metallica tribute band.
Oh, and Ewan's in the chat room. He can edit. Thank you, Ewan. I appreciate that. You'll make me look better. Yes. Ewan, paint me like one of your French girls.
Or is it Jeff just pretending to be Ewan in the chat room?
That could be.
Yes, I have two instances of textual open right now. Okay, let's talk about the exciting news from the Apple world this week, which is basically us just picking a couple things that sounded not that boring. Ewan, you totally picked the right week to not have to host. All right, so let's start with Apple getting their panties in a bunch about people reporting leaks about upcoming products. So what has happened is that Apple has started sending out were butthurt letters to various online leakers. So these are people that are known for spilling the beans on upcoming Apple products, and in many cases, actually having legit information. So the story that I grabbed, this one comes from 9to5Mac, and fill me in, people, because I really haven't been able to stay up on Apple news this week. So what's the deal here? That's what I thought.
I mean, you know, I'll jump in. This is kind of way overdue, and I'm surprised that Apple hasn't done this before. Part of me says that this helps validate the accuracy of the leakers, especially the ones they're calling down. But at the same time, they should be called down because these are corporate secrets and corporate pieces of information that are valuable to competitors, and so they should not be leaked. And I mean, being a business guy, that's the way I have to look at it. You know, I miss the days when we could be, when Tim Cook or Steve Jobs or whoever was walking on stage and we could be flat out surprised. And, you know, I know that as large as Apple is with all the supply chain issues and the supply chain indicators that people are inevitably going to predict, but predicting is one thing. Leaking is, in my view, a whole nother.
Yeah, I agree. It's fun to see it and all, but it's also, it undermines what Apple's trying to do, provide us amazing products and to be surprised. We want to be surprised. Yeah, every time we've gone to any events, it's like, okay, we knew this because it's been leaked. And it's a shame. And I seem to remember, you know, going back way back when they shut the website down for doing that. And this could happen with these folks too. I mean, obviously things have changed back in those days, but Apple's been known to get these folks to stop, and whether it's stopping with them permanently or but I don't think it's probably not going to happen. It's not going to stop. Yeah. There's no way you're going to stop it.
It's not going to stop because the financial incentives aren't there to stop it. Like the incentives are to actually continue doing it. Like whoever has the biggest,
right,
the biggest like inside information and the biggest leaks. I mean, one, you can get a lot of like traffic and a lot of ads and like make a lot of money. I mean, YouTube and all of that with it, or you can sell it to a competitor and like get your money that way. Like Apple's not going to pay for people not to leak it. So I don't think that's going to happen. So I don't think Apple can do anything. And honestly, I have to question a little bit, what is Apple's game here? Like, what's their plan? Like, what are they yeah, trying to achieve with this? Because this is kind of a pointless exercise. They can ask and they can talk about it, but it's not going to change it.
Yeah, I don't know. I honestly don't know if there's a legal a cease and desist, anything that could actually be brought down. I mean, think. Well, I'm thinking about it. If you leak government secrets to an enemy of your state, there's a word for that, and I realize that's a little different, but
that is legally different. But even then, I mean, it's like if a journalist gets government secrets, they can talk about it. Like they might choose not to, but they can. Like I think they're protected in that way. The person who leaked it, that's a different story.
There you go. Patrice, you just nailed it. So any sort of legal repercussion that that Apple could bring to the table is not against the person that says, hey, I heard this thing about the iPhone 15 and how it's going to have a holographic display and a unicorn. Apple's recourse is against the person that provided the information to the person that then said it. And this also brings up another problem for Apple, which is and a problem for us as people that enjoy to be surprised by Apple product announcements. The whole thing with getting this information out early, the leaks, that's news, that's business. Mm-hmm. And that's simply a thing that the media wants to do and and is expected to do. That's part of their job. If they hear information about an exciting new Mac that actually has feet and walks around, then they need to report on that because that's their job. The crappy thing is we miss out on the surprise when Apple actually announces the walking Mac.
And I mean, all of us here, we all are on shows where we talk about this stuff. Mm-hmm. We all are part of that news cycle. I mean, to like a minimal extent, but we are. Like, and if there were zero leaks and nothing was happening, and we would wait a year for the next thing, what would we talk about?
Mm-hmm. Patrice, that brings up an interesting point. I mean, we have to take some responsibility, as do the major Mac news sites, for encouraging this, for making it valuable clickbait, and you know that's, I mean maybe we have to look at it ourselves and say, is this something we want to help perpetuate? I don't think we can stop it. And to Jeff's point, you know, I've had this debate with several journalists, Jeff. You know that's the media's role, and I question that. You know, I question the good taste part of it. You know, does the public have the right to know everything? You know, it always leaves a bad taste in my mouth. And yet I admit, I think we feel pressure on this show and on any of the other shows we all participate in to address those things about, if Apple does introduce a walking Mac, what size shoes will it wear? And, you know, will it want saddle shoes or sneakers? And you know, that's a completely non sequitur discussion, but you know, we feel obligated to have it.
Well, yeah. The ongoing debate about whether or not we or anyone else should be reporting on these leaks. Well, there's also the other side that goes along with this, which is not just the sensational Apple is going to release a walking Mac. It's the part where we have information about Apple is releasing a walking Mac. Microsoft is working on a version of Windows that will actually be able to get out of bed. And now we get the analysis. So what is Apple's game with making a walking Mac? What is Microsoft's game with trying to get Windows to actually get up out of bed? And then how do these fit together in the whole tech space? And what is the competition here? And what does this mean for users? And then when we actually see the products come out or not, then there's the whole analysis that goes along with that too. So it's a tough place to be because, well, you can't make everyone happy, but there's also, I suppose, on some level, an obligation to provide your audience with, if nothing else, your perspective on what is being leaked, which then brings us back to, well, no surprises.
Yeah. And I mean, that's what I do on my podcast. I mean, I don't, if it's something really off the wall, I don't want to bring it up. I mean, that's fine. It's clickbait, but if it's something that's going to be, you know, might be some interesting to the audience, I agree. It's a possibility. I mean, a good example is the rumor has always been the iPhone 12 mini is going out of production and it's going to be discontinued. And Apple hasn't officially said anything like that, but I thought that was interesting to the audience because it's probably going to happen because it's obvious that it's not doing as well as, not necessarily obvious, but based on the rumors that it's not doing as well as the other models are. But that's just giving one example. But there's some of this stuff that especially this guy Kang does, there's some off-the-wall stuff. I just kind of like, yeah, okay, and Prosser and some of the other ones, it just they come up with some off-the-wall stuff that, and maybe they are right, but I don't think everybody should be interested in it. So maybe stop following them. That's probably the thing, but that'll never happen.
Yeah, go ahead, Chuck.
Go ahead, Patrice. Sorry.
No, I was just thinking, I mean, I as much as I don't have a problem with rumors, like someone heard something through the grapevine and like it's an idea, it might be true, it might not be true. That's okay. I think where it gets a little bit too much is like what Prosser, for example, is doing, where he gets like real renderings of like hardware and whatever, and he just recreates them and posts them, and you see like how the new AirPod Pro and AirPod Max look like and stuff like that. I mean, as I said, I understand it from a business perspective. Like for him, it makes total sense. Like that's how he's gonna get like a lot of views and a lot of money ultimately.
Mm-hmm.
I can understand the business side of it, but like personally, I'm not a big fan of that.
There's so many YouTubers that are doing that, but mm-hmm. Yeah, go ahead, Chuck.
Yeah, well, but David, during your comment, you just kind of slid it in there. You know, based on the rumors, the iPhone 12 mini is not doing well. Based on the rumors, we don't have any hard numbers. Right. And what disturbs me about that is the same thing that toilet paper shortages and meat shortages and all, that the press gets hold of things, it perpetuates it, and all of a sudden mm-hmm. it puts pressure on or starts to make it true. And that's the distortion that bothers me a lot about some of this. That, yeah. You know, if during the pandemic, would there have been a toilet paper shortage if the press hadn't started to talk about it? Would there have been a meat shortage if, you know, they hadn't started to talk about it? Mm-hmm. Well, you can't go down both forks of the road. You'll never know.
Right.
But it seemed like there were places that had none of those shortages because for whatever reason, the public didn't buy into it.
We didn't.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, Jeff. Yeah.
I agree with, but if I can hold the one that thought there, but I agree with Patrice when in the sense of the renderings. I mean, you go on some of these YouTube pages and some of these guys, like to me, boy, you have way too much time on your hands. You coming up all these renderings of iPhones and like you said, the AirPods Max, and it's just crazy. And then one guy I got interested, I think he's starting to finally realize that people are starting to, I mean, he's got like 6 or 10 million subscribers to his YouTube channel. But he does it all the time. I see, I'm not going to mention his name because it isn't worth any price here, but all the time it's, oh, look at this new rendering. He has somebody ship him an iPhone that that's like a mock-up iPhone that actually works. And so he's got, that's how crazy some of these people are when it comes to that stuff. So that's the stuff I try to avoid.
Yeah, but is that the business side gives them the right, like doesn't give them the right to do it, but makes it worth it for them to do it.
Right, because they're getting more and more people
all day. Yeah,
like, then they're getting so many people click to watch the video, and then of course they're making their YouTube channels are monetized. So there you go.
Hey, and you got to pay the rent. Mm. All right, Patrice, you asked a question earlier, which was, what is Apple's end game with this? And I've been thinking about that. Yeah. And then Ewan in the chat room, he collaborated with you unknowingly and fed me the piece that I need to be able to figure out what the end game is. And what Ewan did in the chat room is he called out Gruber as one of those people that I'm going to come up with my own term. He's a professional leaker. And by that, I mean, he's a sanctioned leaker by Apple. Apple feeds him information. All right. So I put these pieces together. By the way, I don't know for certain that Apple is feeding Gruber information, but Apple is feeding Gruber information. So put all this together, and this is a legal strategy, straight up. So what Apple wants is to be able to have the physical documentation to show that they are doing everything they can to protect the secrecy of their intellectual property. So they send out these letters. This is now a physical record that can be entered into a court case. So when they go after the unofficial, the unsanctioned leakers, that they can actually go after. So people that are under contract or are on payroll in some way with them, they can now say, look, we're doing everything we can to protect our intellectual property. So this is a posturing move. That's my guess.
That's a good point. Might actually be something to that. That simply they can show also to the courts, we've done everything we can to prevent this from reaching the public, but like, whoever we're suing right now is really responsible for it.
Well, and having a sanctioned leaker, if you've or whatever, I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. You know, that's how the press works.
Like, I mean, at The Verge, I think oftentimes gets Apple press releases early. Any company does that. They have certain outlets that they send information to, sometimes even early. That's just how it works.
You know, when you put it that way, I need to rephrase my reference to Gruber, because in that light, he's not actually a leaker. He's just reporting on official information Apple has given him earlier than other people get it. From our perspective on the outside, that makes him a leaker.
Yeah, or information that he had from other people, that other people leaked to him, or he talked to friends of friends or friends he has at Apple that he got, but at Apple signed off on him talking about it. Like, they didn't give him the information directly. Anymore. He already had it, but they said, okay, you can talk about it. It's fine.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, they have to be under an NDA, so they're not supposed to disclose until a set date. You know, guys like Rene Ritchie, who are very influential in Apple, and you see him all the time going to, you know, whenever he's off of MacBook Weekly, he's going off into the press events whenever there's events, and he obviously can't say anything about it until after that's all released, and they give the blessing to release the information. You know, same thing with him and many others that have the credentials with Apple that provide them that information. They have to keep it under wraps, and but some of these guys, they seem to not follow that sometimes.
Yeah. No, and to be fair, I think the people who have direct access to Apple are not the people leaking it. I mean, I have not seen iJustine MKBHD or even Gruber like officially leak anything.
No, right. iJustine would never do that.
Yeah,
exactly. She's too big of an influencer.
You clearly have something you really want to say. So say it, and then we'll move on to another topic.
Well, there was something that somebody said in a few comments ago, and now I can't tie it back. But This is again, is not one of my best analogies, but some of the leaker stuff and the attitude toward it seems to border on paparazzi. Mm-hmm. And that, I think that's the thing that leaves the really bad taste in my mouth, that, you know, that if a star wants to go out and walk their dog in their pajamas, you know, is that really something that the public should see, has a right to see, needs to see?
I want to know how to get the dog in the pajamas.
All right, I'm done. I'm done. That's it.
I'm sorry I ruined that for you, Chuck.
Touche, Jeff. No, that was good. That was good. I like it.
All right. Well, pretending like we have a theme going and we're tying everything together. Speaking of Apple posturing for their own legal motives, Apple has been busy writing not just letters to people that leak, but writing white papers and explaining why sideloading apps to the iPhone and iPad would be a bad thing and would undermine iPhone security and iOS security. So another 9-to-5 Mac story.
Yeah. Honestly, I mean, I'm not sure I am for sideloading, but Apple's arguments here are pretty weak, to be honest. Like, I mean, this is pretty transparent why they're doing it with all the court cases going on and like the antitrust stuff and so on. But I mean, how is sideloading on an iPhone different than installing a Mac app? Like that is something Apple has not been able to really fully explain. They say it's different. They say, sure, there are some differences between the platforms. But I mean, honestly, you can sideload on an iPhone today. And a lot of companies have done it. Like it's not that it's impossible.
Yeah, it's actually a feature that's built into Apple's own tools.
Exactly. Yeah, like if you're an enterprise and have an enterprise certificate, you can install it. If you're a developer, you can install any app. I mean, you have to build it, install it yourself, but you can.
Yeah, I mean, granted, they can lose their certificate if Apple finds out. But
yeah, if Apple finds out that they misused it, for sure.
But Patrice, I guess the Mac OS is one thing, iOS is another, and they were built. I mean, we all, you know, we could go down the road of the way they're coming together. It seems, but you know, at the end of the day, it is. Yes, of course you can do that. You can also jailbreak an iPhone and then have at it and do whatever you want with it. But, you know, there are associated risks. And I heard on another show that I'm not going to call out, but I wanted to throw the phone across the room because these were respected people who were really chiding Apple a little bit, saying, oh, this is just, you know, to feather your own nest, basically. Because and you're touting the security of it. And it's like, this is not a zero-sum game here. You know, you can be doing something very beneficial for the user by preventing this stuff. Mm-hmm. And yes, it's playing into security, which is something you tout, but it's not, you know, it's not just to benefit you. It benefits the user as well.
Yeah.
So, you know, I feel like this white paper, and I took a real quick look at it. I did not read all 16 pages, but the thing about it to me is that some of these things need to be explained to the lawmakers who clearly do not have the technical chops to understand. And for once, I'm not putting down the lawmakers, because if you ask me, you know, what it takes to get a bill through Congress, I have zero idea how the process works. Well, not zero idea, but not a lot of idea. But they clearly have no idea about the dangers here associated with opening up a secure platform. So yeah, good for Apple. I mean, they laid out their case.
Yeah.
Oh, I commend them too. I was very surprised to see them write up such a paper like this. It's not been something I've seen long, if at all. I commend them for doing that. I mean, they got to protect the ecosystem. I feel that way. And I always give the example of the Google Play Store. It's a wild, wild west out there on that platform, because there's so many unidentified and not so good developers on that platform that allow a lot of that crazy stuff out there. But they put some different points, good points in here, like, you know, stuff like siloed and gaming, like it bypasses parental controls. Now your parents aren't going to be able to protect their kids from these games that could be something that's inappropriate. So sideloading doesn't allow it, just like jailbreaking, you know, that they completely are against jailbreaking. And it seems like jailbreaking is kind of wandered down a little bit. You don't hear about it as much as you used to in the past. So the same thing. I think I commend them for doing this. It is a good thing. And yeah, I didn't read all 16 pages either, but some good information. And I think Apple was smart in doing this.
Yeah, I mean, they're definitely smart in doing that, and I'm not surprised they did. And as I said, I'm not sure I'm a fan of sideloading. I mean, I think I'm yeah, more on Apple's side in this case. But as I said, like the argument that you will hear or that you have heard from a lot of other people, and like Epic as well, is like, why is the Mac different? And Apple has not explained that.
I can tell you why they haven't explained that.
Because they don't want to.
Yeah, because the explanation is we never had the opportunity with the Mac to make it a completely closed environment, but we did with iOS. Therefore, we can't close off the Mac system now like we've done with iOS. So we have two different ways of managing applications. And the bottom line is that the Mac, you can load anything you want because that's the way it's always been, and Apple just can't change it now. And that's not something that they can say in court.
I think Apple's done a good job with SIP, with the system integrity protection. So now with apps that apps that install on a machine that's not identified developer, it's going to give the user the experience, okay, maybe I should think twice about installing this app. Because they didn't have that protection, and well, I guess this go back since Mojave, but there were many years that there was kind of wild west of there too, being able to basically install any app. And granted, Apple Macs aren't as vulnerable as Windows machines when it comes to that, but I think that they went a step in the right direction when it comes to protecting a Mac from some of these developers that might come up with an app that's not so good.
I mean, They have introduced more and more protections. I mean, with the M1 Macs, if you want to install Audio Hijack, for example, you have to reboot the machine into, I think, rescue mode to change some security preferences. So they're making it harder and harder to do it I mean, some people complain about it. I think it's a very good reason, because like if I install it and I have an option to change that and I like know what I'm doing, it's fine.
Exactly. A normal consumer is not going to know how to do this, and they're going to give up. They're going to throw up their hands, as they should not. Yeah, exactly.
This takes us back to some of the conversations we've had in the past of the audience that Apple was building machines for now is different than us and the ones they were. They're building them for the consumer. They're building them to be safe. They're building them to be secure, and they're not building them to be tinkered with the way that we all want to do. So, you know, that's another thing that I think may be lost on the tech audiences.
But that also predates the iPhone. Like that goes back to probably the very DNA of Apple, where Steve Jobs used smash and screws and didn't want anybody to go into the I think even the Apple II's case.
Good point. Like,
that goes very, very far back. And I mean, honestly, I said you can, from like, if you're like a tech person, a tech nerd like us, you can argue with that and say, I want to be able to do that. But for the average consumer, I think it's for the better.
I was chatting with a person yesterday who's an Android user, and we were talking just coincidentally about sideloading apps, the difference between App Store and Google Play Store, App Store, whatever it's called now. And they said that they felt like the way it's handled on Android phones, where you can install anything, is actually really valuable. And their logic was because there's so many bad applications out there that there's no way you're not going to get burned on Android. And they said that's important because everyone with an Android phone at some point is going to get screwed by an app they installed. And that's how we learn the important lesson about not installing bad apps. And I was silent for a minute. And then finally I'm like, you're serious? And they went, yeah. And I thought, that's some hardcore Stockholm syndrome right there.
Yeah, I mean, it's one way of looking at it for sure. I have a feeling that some issues Apple has, they could get rid of with sideloading, like supporting apps in China and in Russia and so on, that they want to be in the market, but then they have to also play by the game, by the rules, and have to have a store there and have to have the apps that the government wants there and all of that. And I think like that might be a way around that, to allow that and simply say, well, and then in China, like, let someone else have a store. Like, we're not doing it.
We're getting Mueller all ruffled up in the chat room.
That's good.
Yeah, but the trouble is, Patrice, that if you do that, most likely you're the one, you as Apple are going to be the one that gets the tech support calls. And it's your device that is broken. It wasn't the Czechoslovakian app that broke your device. It was your device that is broken, and I need you to help me fix it. And
That's already the case with the current App Store. Right?
But
Apple gets the calls for the apps no matter what.
Right, but Apple has a lot more control, and they get a lot less calls because of the control they have in the App Store. So, you know, they've opened it up and it benefits everybody, but you know, they've tried to put some controls on it.
I said they're not perfect. That's the problem. I don't know whether it's the problem. They can't be, like, no matter how hard you try, there's always going to be someone who slips through.
And flip it around. So we're hearing all this about Apple needs to be less controlling and less, you know, less this and less that. And they release AirTags. Oh my God, you can track anybody, and Apple has done nothing about it. It's like, you know, you people are never going to be satisfied with, you know, you're always, no matter which direction Apple falls, you're going to be arguing the other side.
That's a good point. I mean, look at the way Apple is being hammered over AirTag. But Tile never received that same scrutiny. And Tile does nothing to protect user privacy. No. That's not fair. Tile does very little compared to what Apple is doing with AirTags to protect user privacy. And if Apple were to open up the iPhone for loading apps through any other source, Apple would be hammered for creating a platform that doesn't have the security that it once did. And now they're in the same position because they're not allowing that. So now Apple is failing us because they're not letting us load any app we want, like we can do on Android. It's in that sense a Kobayashi Maru. So Apple has to decide which sword they want to fall on. And they have decided to fall on the sword of privacy and protection, regardless of whether or not that privacy and protection is an appropriate level.
Yeah, privacy, protection, and money. I mean, let's be fair. It also makes Apple a lot of money.
That's the real bottom line. Apple's a company. People forget Apple is not our friend. Apple is a corporation that has a responsibility to its shareholders. And it just so happens that what they're creating and what we want and what's good for their shareholders is currently generally in alignment. Okay. And And at some point that could change, and then Apple has to figure out how to bring it all back into balance. But you know, I'd say overall they're doing a pretty good job of balancing all these things, mm-hmm. and that's why we're here.
That's true. Yeah.
Did I you mean, say wasn't that you say making Tim Cook? I'm sorry. Go ahead, Patrice. Well, but Patrice, you say making money like it's a bad thing. No. And if Apple wasn't making money, we wouldn't have this stuff.
No, right. Exactly. But that's the point. Like, I mean, Apple is not a charity, and we should not forget that. And some decisions they make, they will make for monetary reasons. Otherwise, they would give away all the iPhones. And like, if they were only interested in privacy and providing the best platform, and like, they would just give away everything, because then everybody would get it. Like, it's something we should not forget. Apple will sometimes make this, like, they generally make good decisions, and they make good decisions for their users and for the customers and for privacy and making the world a better world. But they're also a business that sometimes makes decisions because they have to make money.
Mm-hmm.
And not everything okay. they do is going to align with the other things.
Mueller in the chat room is saying people learn by mistakes, let people make them. Now, that's the argument that the person I was talking with yesterday was making. Now, on one hand, sure, we learn through the mistakes that we make. But the other side of that, when you're looking at this from a business perspective, from a company consumer relationship perspective, you don't want your customers to have to make the bad mistakes to learn how to yeah. effectively and safely use your product, because that reflects poorly on you as a company.
Yeah. Do we all have to cut off a finger before we install like a finger guard on a table saw? Is that how we learn?
And let me take that another direction too. And I hear what you're saying, Mueller, but okay, if you decide not to install security or have security on your phone, and you have my contact information or confidential information of mine on your phone, and it gets leaked, you're not the only one that gets hurt. I get hurt too. And this is one of the problems with some of the security systems out there that we have right now, is that, you know, we all are carrying around so much information. And if you stop and think, it's not just your information that you're carrying around. It's mine, it's Patrice's, it's David's, it's Jeff's, it's Ewan's. And if you get compromised, it hurts us. And so I want somebody to prevent you from screwing up and learning the lesson the hard way. I'd prefer that you learn the lesson an easier way than by hurting me.
That's a good point. Yep. Yeah. We're all carrying these databases of everyone else's information. And if your device is compromised, now whoever compromised it potentially has all of my information, mm-hmm. or at least enough of my information to be a pain in my butt.
Right.
Yeah. Yep. Exactly. Okay. So another topic, and I feel so incredibly qualified to discuss this because I have read nothing more than the headline. Latest iOS and iPad OS 15 betas allow apps to request access to more RAM. So I get what's going on here. I mean, from a headline standpoint, in beta 1 of iOS and iPad OS 15, apps were limited to no more than 5 gigabytes of RAM, even though the new iPads have more than that. And
way more.
And yeah, like a lot more. And now in beta 2, that's changing. So I see people coming at this from two angles. The first one is, well, it's a beta and things are changing throughout the beta process. When beta 1 was released, they didn't have their memory handling in place to deal with iPads that have more memory available to them. And the other is, wow, finally, Apple's listening to its customers, and they decided to remove this artificial ceiling on how much RAM an application can use.
And I think neither one are correct. This was planned a long time ago, like at least a year. They knew it when they released the iPads. They knew it when they released the M1, like They knew this was happening. They knew that there were apps that needed more and wanted more. I mean, I'm pretty sure like Adobe and a lot of the other like pro apps, they have been talking to Apple about this, that they want more RAM for like to have a better experience. Like if you work on a, I don't know, a Photoshop file or something with like hundreds of layers, or didn't they show Logic or something? No, it was like a music app, I think, of some sort. It was requested and Apple just now pushed it out. Like it was ready. Mm-hmm. It's not a big deal, but it's good that the Apple is showing that they're going to do something with it, because I think that was after the release one of the biggest questions, like what is Apple going to do with all that RAM?
All right, Bob Beach is asking a question, which I'm going to extrapolate out from. His question is Final Cut on the iPad Pro. Now, I'm going to build on his question and build a whole tapestry from his thread, which is, wow, is this why Apple didn't announce Final Cut Pro during the WWDC keynote? Because they knew it needed more RAM and they didn't have the beta ready to support the needs of Final Cut Pro on an iPad yet. Therefore, maybe now at some point we actually will see Final Cut Pro on an iPad.
Yeah, I mean, that was one of my picks in the keynote poker. Like, I thought they would do it. They haven't done it yet. But I mean, we don't know. But I would guess. I mean, someone is gonna use it.
It opens the door for those higher end pro level apps on an iPad.
8K.
Something has to give.
Anything on an iPad?
Yeah. Well, M1 processor. I think it's very possible if Apple opens it to allow them to address it.
Yeah.
Well, Patrice said it best, though, when his very first comment, this was planned. I mean, there was no way it wasn't planned. And this is something that, you know, we all, some of us more than others, react to constantly. Just Apple does something. Oh, my God, this is a mistake. And they forget that it's not going to be this way all the time. It's that way right now. You know, you didn't jump in. Well, hopefully you didn't jump in a Porsche the first time you were trying to learn to drive. You know, so you started small and then you worked your way up. So, you know, that's what Apple has to do here and force developers to do it, because some developers will just go out there and go nuts and create an unstable system.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. And I think that's one of the fundamental differences between iOS, iPadOS and macOS. macOS started out with basically a free for all and Apple has been slowly like restricting things and restricting access and like making things also more stable. Like I don't remember the last time macOS even crashed on me, and that was definitely more frequent earlier, like 10 years ago.
That would be last week for me.
Okay. It hasn't happened for me in a while. And on iOS, they've kind of done the opposite. They basically restricted everything down and now they're slowly opening things up. So simply making sure that experience for the user is always close to the best, at least. Like, I wouldn't say it's the best, because there's always something that's not perfect, but very close, like as close as to the best experience as they can get it. And even at the point where they restrict apps from doing certain things, like even if they wanted to, like not running in the background all the time and burning up your battery. Not using all the RAM available just because, I don't know, you messed something up or you didn't care about your RAM management. Like, stuff like that. Like sometimes the restrictions that the platform put on you also push you to come up with really cool solutions.
Now, I'm not a developer. So keep that in mind when I say I cannot imagine that changing the underlying memory management structure to allow applications to request more than 5 gigabytes of RAM is an easy task. Therefore, Apple has been working on the memory management that allows for higher RAM usage for a while.
I don't know. I mean, I'm not like I don't know too enough about the underpinnings of iOS to say it is or it's not. I think
yeah, with but I said it with conviction, like I know what I'm saying. Therefore, that's good enough is real.
Yeah. It probably wasn't the hardest thing Apple has done, but it's also like something that they were very careful how they do it. Not just opening it up to everybody like day one, like be more careful and be more like, okay, let's make this a special thing that people can ask for.
Well, and I'm assuming that the way this works, it has to be set up so that an application that is capable of using more than 5 gigabytes of RAM can also run with just 5 gigabytes of RAM. So that if you're using an iPad that has less RAM, the application will still actually run.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Otherwise, I mean, there are a lot of, I mean, as a developer, you could probably try to do that, but the experience for users would be bad because then it would just probably crash. If you use it on an older iPad, it would just crash. So I don't think that's something you want to do. And I mean, to be clear, this is a special entitlement. You have to ask Apple to be allowed to do this. Not every app can do it. Like Facebook can't just go out there and say, well, I don't know, we want to run like crypto mining in the background and we just want to have more RAM. Like they can't do that. They have to ask Apple for permission to get it. And certain apps, like as I said, video editors, probably photo editors, audio editors, stuff like that, where it makes sense, or games, for example, certain games, where it makes sense to have more RAM if it's available, can do that.
All right. Do we know of any applications that are in beta that would actually support the more RAM yet? I'm assuming not.
No, because nobody's leaked it.
Right. That's right.
Where's Gruber when we need him?
Exactly.
Yeah, I did install beta 2 on one of my iPads last night. I have no idea if it actually installed because I started the process and went to bed. So I'm assuming I have an iPad with developer beta 2 on it so that I can play around with some stuff. Or maybe I have a really pretty serving tray now. Yeah. All right. Well, I'm actually tired of this topic, so I'm going to talk about our sponsors. Thank you to TSO Hosts for, isn't this great when I have no idea of what we're talking about? I think I'm much more honest. I'm tired of this topic. Let's do something else. Hey, TSO Hosts, thank you for being our sponsor. They are awesome because they're providing us with the storage and the bandwidth we need to bring top quality programming like this to you every single week. They are absolutely awesome and also apparently incredibly tolerant because after every time when I host a show, they still continue to sponsor. So that is absolutely awesome. And we love TSO Hosts. If you need to have domain names or you need to have web hosting, hit them up. They will take care of you. And they will give you a discount because you're a BTN fan, which is absolutely awesome. But seriously, they are awesome. Without them, we simply would not be here at all. Now, I said go in and get domains and hosting from them. But before you do that, go and hit social media and send them some love on your favorite social media platform because that's what they need. They're just like us and we all need a little bit of love and validation every now and then to feel good about who we are. And this is how they know that we as fans of BTN really appreciate what they're doing for us. So go and hit social media. Give them a big shout out and a thank you for sponsoring the British Tech Network and TSO Host, you rock. Also, Iman Max is our sponsor, despite the fact that Callum is too busy to join us today. Jeez, Callum.
He's probably in treatment for his cloth.
He probably is.
Sloth evolution.
Actually, I'm assuming that he is actually just way too busy with all of the amazing repairs that he does, because Callum is essentially a technological magician, because what he does at I'm in Max is look at your Apple gear that isn't working right and figures out what's actually broken on it. So instead of saying, this Mac, it's just, you can't connect hard drives to it throughout the logic board, let's put a new one in. And he goes and figures out that it's actually the USB port on your computer that isn't working right. So he'll replace that. Or if there's a chip that isn't working right, or a capacitor, he goes and replaces the component. That's what they do at I'm in Max. They replace the stuff that needs to be fixed. So they're keeping more out of the landfills, which is absolutely awesome. And I'm giving Callum a hard time for not being able to join us today. But the reality is I have two iPads sitting here that both need new batteries. And there's an Apple store that is about a 5-minute drive from where I live. And I have not taken either of them in to get the batteries replaced, because I keep hoping that someday the timing will work out that I can come over to the UK and have Callum replace my batteries, because that's who I trust to open up my Apple gear. So Callum, one of these days, I'm hoping. All right. So go to I'm in Max to get your gear fixed. They also will sell you used new equipment. They do leases, which is great if you have a business. And they just do so many awesome things. And they will give you a discount for being a BTN fan. So go hit them up and take your gear in. Let them know that you love that they're supporting us too. And someday, I hope, we'll have a live stream of Callum replacing a battery in one of my iPads. I am living for that day. All right. Thank you to TSO hosts and I'm in Max. You rock. And it is now time for the cool thing. We still do that, right? I feel like it's been forever since I've been on.
Yeah.
All right, Patrice, what do you have for us?
So I have this little thing here. More specifically, I picked the AirTag that's in it last week. This is the Belkin, I don't remember what it's called, like AirTag accessory, AirTag something. I bought it.
They should have called it the AirTag tag.
AirTag, that would have been awesome, yeah. They come in, they have like, I think three or four colors, like white, black, blue, and pink, I think. And they also have two versions of it. This one is the one with the, I don't know what it's called, the little loopy thing that you can remove. They also have one with a standard keyring. And it's, yeah, it's just, I mean, it's like, I think $13 or something. And it's just a little AirTag holder that you can put on your, like on your bag. Like this one would be for like good, it's actually for my purse, like for a bag or a backpack. And it just opens, oops. It's just like two pieces and you just put the AirTag in and that's it. So good thing they're mostly sold out. I didn't find it on Amazon in the US, so I don't know. But you can order it directly from Belkin. So I don't know what's going on. I think probably a lot of people are buying them right now. I only got the white one. Like I wanted pink and I only got white. So for the same reason.
You can paint it.
No, I can just order a second one. That's why actually I got the loop thing and I'm going to get one for my keychain. So it's all good. I said $13 for a little, this little thing.
Nice. All right, Dave, what do you have today?
Well, I found this cool thing called that is made by a company called Sebrent. It's a USB 4-bay 2.5 hard drive solid state docking station with fans. And what it does is it allows you to put four drives into one device. It has a fan actually inside the device, keep the drives cool. You plug it in and all four drives will operate independently over the one bus connection. Has 5 gigabits of speed, USB 3.0, but you know, that's fine. But very, very simple, easy way to access drives. So you don't have to have, you know, four caddies plugged in all different places. Can have it all in one place and be able to plug it all in. Easy way to transfer data, transfer between the drives. And they seem to appeal more to the Mac, but they do say it supported Windows 2. But I thought this was a cool device. I ordered it, and it's actually coming today. I'm going to try it out, and I'm looking to see how I can save some space on my desk with all these all the drive caddies we all have on our desks all the time.
That's really cool.
Yeah, it is, David.
Not too terribly expensive in the U.S., $65.
Yeah, I like that. That something like this would actually make my Lego drive rack obsolete.
It's got a fan, so keep things cool.
Yeah, that's really cool. All right. Chuck, what do you have?
This week, it finally arrived. I got the Apple Magic Keyboard for my new iPad. I was really hesitant about spending this much money on a keyboard and keypad. And the only thing I don't like about it is it's not like it offers a huge amount of drop protection should anything go wrong. Other than that, I absolutely love it. And I'm surprised at how much I love it. I love the way that it folds down. It's not quite the origami effort that the last one I had from Apple it was, but the keys feel really good to me. You know, they're nice and solid. The trackpad is super responsive, and really the only thing I can say against it is the lack of drop protection. Other than that, I would recommend this to anyone who has a new iPad and wants to be, you know, pushing it toward that productivity machine.
Nice.
Yeah, I have it for the 11-inch, and I've had it from the previous model, and I really like it. I like the keyboard, and yeah, and it is nice.
Cool. Yeah. All right, before we do my cool thing, Patrice, will you help me out and tell people where they can find the chat room so they can find all the links to the articles we've talked about and the cool things that we've talked about today?
Yeah, sure, I can do that. Very easy. Take your browser of choice, point it over to britishtechnetwork.com/chat, then navigate to, what is today, the 25th of June, 2021. And there you will find everything we talked about in the chat room and all the links we mentioned. And as always, do not click any links that Muller Biker has posted.
Words to live by. Mm-hmm. Yep. Okay. So my cool thing is sticking with the theme that I started at some point. So I've talked about the Shitmodi 3 Plus, which is the DAC that I'm using with my Mac for high-res audio files. But if you need something that you can use on the go, but also with your computer and your desk, there's the iFi Hip DAC, which is this little thing, which I think actually looks like a little hip flask. And try as I might, I actually can't unscrew the volume button and pour bourbon in here. But this is really nice because it's compact to give you a good idea of physical size. This is it with an iPhone 12 Plus. So it's not that big. Built-in rechargeable battery, which means that it does not need to have bus power to run. So it'll work with an iPhone or an iPad, no problem. And it has 3.5 millimeter and 1/4 inch headphone jacks on it. The 1/4 inch is a balanced jack. And then it also has a bass boost if you want that. And it charges over USB-C. And data goes through a USB-A port. By the way, that opening around the USB-A port is just the right size to fit in Apple's USB to Lightning or USB-C dongle. So it fits in there just perfectly. And it's $149 on Amazon. So it's really nice. I really like it a lot. And it'll do 34-bit, 300-and-something kilohertz over USB. So it'll handle everything that Apple Music can throw at it.
But can it do warp 10?
You have to do the special combinations like A, B, A, B, dial, dial, A. And then it hits warp 10. And you turn into a lizard and have sex with your captain. That's just how it works.
Oh my gosh.
It's, well, Dave gets it. And Chuck's like, I think I missed that one.
There's your show
title. No, I got that one. I got that.
Okay,
one.
Good. Yeah. Good.
But show title.
Show title. Have sex with your captain?
Yeah.
All right. There we go. We have our show title. And we also have a whole show. So, wow. Ewan, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. But, yeah. Anyhow, no, this has been great. This has been lots of fun. And I feel like I'm actually recharged. This, all of you, this is like therapy for me. So, it's great. And now that I've said that, I fear that your bill will be in the mail. So if anyone needs my name for the bill, that would be Muller Biker. Patrice, where can people find you?
Well, every week here on the Mac Show, also Thursdays on the Big Show. Everything I'm doing, you can find on patrice.com, all the social media links, and if you want to buy me a coffee and stuff. And my podcast is Foodie Flashback at foodieflashback.com, where I talk to really cool people about food and just everything that goes with that. And we just posted an episode with David Ginsberg, like a culinary tour through Chicago. And it's been really awesome, and I'm still hungry. And it's been awesome. A month, I think, since we recorded. So I'm still hungry.
Yep. Awesome. All right, Dave, where can people find you?
I mean, at InTouchWithIOS, at InTouchWithIOS.com. Actually, Patrice is going to be on the show in a couple weeks. I'm looking forward to that. And you also find me on Mac Voices Live on Tuesday nights, usually on Facebook, on YouTube, where we're taking off a couple weeks, as Chuck will share. And I'm on the Mac to the Future Go live cast with Guy and Warren on Wednesday nights on the Facebooks. I'm here on the Mac Show, and you can find me on Twitter at DaveG65. Thanks again, always, for having me.
Awesome. And Chuck, where can people find you?
MacVoices.com, as always. That's where you can see all the conversations I have with interesting people, including everyone on this panel. And as David alluded to, we do Mac Voices Live Tuesday nights at 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern, whatever time it is your time. And we are going to take a couple weeks off, because I'm going to take a week off, and it just happens to cut into two Tuesdays. But it is not going away. It'll just be off for a couple weeks. So, and on social networks, I am at Chuck Joyner. Thanks, Jeff, as always, for hosting.
It's been an absolute blast, and as always, I'm amazed every time Ewan. It's like, there's no way I can do the show this week. Jeff, can you take it? And then I say yes. And the next time he does it again.
Just don't get it. Maybe not after this one, but.
Well, you never know. All right. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram. I am Jay Gamut, both places. Also on my YouTube channel. That's youtube.com/JGamut. And I'm sorry, I've been so busy these last 2 weeks, one of which was a vacation week, that I have not had a chance to get any of my new videos up, but they will start going up again next week. And let's see, typically on the Big Show, also on the Mac Show, and Muller Biker says, I've been fighting trash pandas. Well, you know, kind of, yes. but not the bears and not the mountain lions. And, but yeah, those trash pandas, they're trouble. Okay. Big Show, Mac Show, typically on Tuesdays on, Mac Voices Live. Thanks for letting me back on all the time, Chuck. And occasionally on In Touch with iOS, Dave, thank you for tolerating me too. And I kind of get around. I'm on a lot of different shows, so I'm easy to find. Patrice, Dave, Chuck, thank you for being here and making this an absolutely awesome Friday for me. And everyone that's watching live or listening live, thank you. All of you absolutely rock. And to everyone that tunes in later to watch or listen to the recordings, I love all of you too. As a matter of fact, everyone rocks. And Ewan, looking forward to seeing you again when you can get back and join us. Thanks, everyone. Have an amazing weekend, and we'll see you again next week. And that's a show.
You got over 100 subscribers on YouTube.
I do?
Nice.
Yeah, 106.
Nicely
done. Awesome.
Nice done.
Nicely done.
Awesome. Well, that's exciting, actually.
Hey, I really apologize. I got to run. Jeff, let me know about the recording and, you know, because obviously it'll be running until I leave. So there you go.
Okay. Cool. Well, thank you for doing a backup. And Patrice, thank you for doing a backup.
See you, Chuck.
No problem. Yeah. And just Jeff, if you end up hosting next week, just so you know, I definitely won't be here next week. So
enjoy your time off. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Enjoy thank your you. Time off. Take care, guys. Thanks.
Take care.
Bye. All right, bye. See you, Chuck.
Jeff, are you going to be available next Thursday?
Let me double check.
Thursday. Get you all here.
What would that be? Oh, that's the 1st of July, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Well, put it on the calendar.
So, yes. Yeah, wow. Okay, I'm available for Big Show and Mac Show next week, and my evenings are free. How did that happen?
That's an accident. That can't be. It's wrong. Like,
yeah. I gotta go clean up the water. Just got in my basement.
Well, that sounds like fun. And that's the perfect place for me to end the live stream.
Bye.
Thank you. All right. See you live stream.
Yeah. All right. It was steady rain here last night, and I got seepage problems.
That sucks.
Yeah, it's the second time. I got PermaSeal got to come out and got to assess it this year. It's sick of moving my TV components and stuff to clean the carpet.
Oh, I forgot to stop recording.